Hello, dreamers. We're back. And tonight's midnight message is ours. Last time, we left, perhaps we'll call them heroes, or protagonists, those this part of the story is about. We left them in the early hours of the morning. As 5 a.m. comes around, their alarms ring. A cat jumps on the professor and demands to be fed. Outside, the grayish light of the pre-dawn begins to fill the sky, while many stars still twinkle behind what seems to be a pane of broken glass, cracks crisscrossing, a faint glow emerging from them. The constant reminder that whatever barrier was once there is now broken.
We should probably get there earlier rather than later. Let's just let them know and they can pack up their things, or they could go to the Ministry of Rest Academy. Let's give them the option of choice.
Sure. Why not?
Shall we?
Yes, when you get there, Pumpernickel.
What?
What? Pardon?
When you knock on the door, I've let the child Sabri know that you have to say the word Pumpernickel, though they won't open it, because it sounded very cool at the moment. I thought that's what we did. We did code words and code names and...
No need to defend your choice of words. Dreams are very weird. Pumpernickel is easy to remember, and it will be hard to mishear it for something else. I think that is a fine code word to use.
They make their way to a nearby neighborhood within 5 irons. Melvin Avenue, a collection of cramped, terraced apartments, small one-bedroom homes stacked into as much space as possible. Here, the poverty of the city is evident, but so is the community.
Can I call to mind a minor detail or trivia about what I know about Melvin Avenue?
Is that
just like something?
Yeah, just bring it up. What do you know about Melvin Avenue? Tell me about Melvin.
Let's see. Melvin Avenue. Oh, a pretty baby thinks about it, and what pretty baby does know is that there is a multiple housing complexes around the area. Melvin Avenue was actually named after Teresa P. Melvin, who was a philanthropist that kind of set it up. And I feel Teresa might have been one of those folks that kind of, they were definitely that kind of like, you know, not necessarily anti-Jax, but they were kind of like, hey y'all, we should be like, we don't need Jax here. We don't need those folks telling us what to do, like, you know, exploiting us for resources and for their benefit and for their luxury and their wealth. One of those types of folks. Anyway, I think Melvin Avenue kind of came like the MLK Drive of this world. So it's kind of like, it's there. And boy, is there a community, but there's very little funding, which makes it easy to access it, because there's really no guards or much protection around it.
No upkeep.
Exactly.
Yep.
While at the same time, there are an abundance of people that live there.
They approach the building, a narrow cobbled street laid out in front of them. The morning air is still cool. There are a number of small alleyways off the main road, tucked behind and around the many dense buildings of 5 irons.
As you approach, are you doing anything in particular? Looking around you? Like, what's your... How are you approaching? Are you just going to saunter up to the door?
I hope there is a moment where we can kind of take a moment. And I feel Cassiel would probably say something along the lines of, I hope the plan isn't for all 4 of us to approach the person at their home. I feel that would be quite an overwhelming experience so early or late. I feel, obviously, you should interact.
That's correct.
You know, 2 and 2? You travel 2 and 2?
Preferably, I would like to be a lookout.
You're the best lookout.
Pretty baby Melee just walks away. All right, cool.
Excellent.
I can do this alone, and I truly believe that I can sit there and talk to this child and let them know
the I'm going consequences. To go with her.
Okay, that's fine.
Yes.
V will lurk. Great. You are being lookout, pretty baby. Why don't you go ahead and just give me a little bit of a perception-y perception? It's a standard difficulty, 6 or higher.
So I'll just drop it down by my general attentiveness to detail?
Yeah, I'll allow that for one step. Okay. So this will be 3 or higher. Let's see if you can do it this time. Unless you would like to play. Never mind, you rolled.
17.
Nice!
17. They take 3 points of damage. But more importantly, you see, as Pashmina and the professor are approaching the building, this is perhaps where you come to the moment where I think this is, you see the threads, right? They start connecting together and you realize that thing you didn't realize, mm-hmm. which is that multiple people mentioned to V when they were asking, like, oh, you know, when your dream's been strange, like, how long has this been happening? Several people said, oh, you know, the first one that's asked me that in various ways. Suggesting that perhaps someone else has been asking around for the whereabouts of this child.
Oh,
and you see, perhaps as you were walking in one direction along Melvin Avenue, coming in the opposite direction, almost directly towards the professor and Pashmina, are two other individuals who are kind of wearing, like, probably larger, sort of baggier coats that might indicate they have arms walking towards Pashmina and the professor, and they look like they're a little bit closer to 37 Melrose Avenue.
Has V made it up to the perch?
Not with Cassia yet. No, V's going to take longer than you, because you have 2 things that help you climb. V does not.
While I wait for V, Cassio just kind of puts a hand on one of the utility pockets and blows it out, and it looks like little butterflies start coming out, from, or moths rather, from the palm of his hand. And I'm going to send them just kind of like, I want to send Luna his out.
Companion Luna?
Yeah. Just to kind of give them some backup.
Okay.
By them, I mean the professor and Pashmina.
The professor, do you know about Luna?
I feel that was a talking point between us.
Describe what Luna looks like.
Luna appears a lot like a moth, a butterfly, some sort of winged insect. However, fatter than your average moth and butterfly.
A little chunky.
A little chunky.
It's like one of the actual hand-sized moths. Mm-hmm.
It's like a poodle moth. A poodle moth. Yeah. But there is a glow. And it often varies between like a pale blue to a bright green or like a faint fuchsia.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there's some particle effects too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And there's like, little trails being left around. And the longer you look at it, you notice that it's never just one color, but it's a constant sort of like, for like a pastel prismatic sort of thing. And just a wee bit, what's the word? You get transparent.
Mm-hmm.
Which it becomes more obvious if there is light behind it. But yeah, she's just like a big old chunk moth.
Mm-hmm.
Big old big ghost moth. Chunk moth.
Big moth. So you see this creature kind of fluttering around and near you. And I think the two of you will see that there are 2 people walking towards you, but probably after Cassiel sees it. And you see these like 2 largely bulky, sort of baggy clothing walking towards you.
Cool. I'm going to just take a moment. And then, like, the demeanor of command, she sounds a little bit stronger. The way she walks, there's a little bit more clicking in her boots. She's like, I'm important.
Can I
putting the demeanor back on?
Yeah.
Okay. Can we recognize, like, are these jacks? Or are they?
You can try and recognize what they are if you would like.
I would love to try to recognize what they are.
They're concealing themselves, so I think this will be demanding. This is 9 or higher. I'd say normally it wouldn't be demanding.
Is that a d20 on this one?
Yeah, you roll a d20, and you need to beat a 9 to, from this distance, kind of immediately know who they are. Do you have anything that helps you with perception, or observing, or studying? Looking at things?
There is a lot of the stuff is like find the way, but that's not particularly pertinent to this. I could, in psychology, maybe I can argue that's a use to be able to say the physiology with that, how they move might give me a hint of if they're trained soldiers, if they're this, but that I don't have an argument.
You know what? I will allow you 1 level with the training in psychology to just kind of understand like their behavior a little bit, like how are they walking, how are they approaching.
Okay.
In this instance, I think it's also just sort of your general understanding of this district and the people who are in it. So this is 6 or higher. to identify them from this distance.
15.
With a 15, you look them up and down, and they are not Jacks. They are not the Vanguard. They're not well-dressed enough for that. Jacks and the Vanguard, they're the official police, so they are pretty well-equipped. They also don't tend to conceal themselves. These people actually very obviously do not have, visible, noticeable, markings. They're not wearing, a uniform or anything like this. This does not fit with the police or the Jacks in this instance, so you're pretty confident they're not.
They're just clearly heavies or something.
But yeah, you can definitely tell these are not the nice sort of people that you meet in a street at night in the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah. Professor kind of looks over at Pashmina. Did Pashmina recognize that there are those people there?
No.
He reaches over and just squeezes Pashmina's hand for a second.
Pashmina's just directly going to the door.
Oh no. Okay. So
perfect.
Well, yes, we're both here.
To my right.
And Pashmina can recognize that. Okay.
You're basically walking at opposite ends of the street towards the same doorway.
Yeah. So,
you look up and you can see them.
That's going to be a problem.
Do you think they're on the same thing? I mean, I know. Yes. What am I saying? Pashmina will figure that out. Should we run?
No.
Should we get there first?
I think we should get there first.
So we need to run?
You need to get there first and maybe walk at a brisk pace.
Okay.
I can see what I can do with them. But you won't have a lot of time.
Got it.
What's your plan?
Get in there.
Good.
So before V starts to even climb up, I think V would probably stay on street level, knowing that there's probably, they're not going to be as effective up top.
Yeah, that makes
sense. I think V will definitely be kind of in that same area as Casil.
You're just sort of prowling down the street level.
Yeah, I would prowl.
V's on their way up and they're on the ladder. And
yeah.
I'm more effective.
Yeah. climbing, what am I doing? This is stupid. Do throw grenades everywhere?
Yeah, you tuck yourself probably into a small alleyway between a couple of buildings for sure. So you look around and you also probably notice these two people.
At least I'll start noticing if they start walking.
I think we do kind of split. Is that what happens?
Yes, yes. I'm going to go kind of towards them, or I'll walk into a stopping point that they would have to go past.
And then I think I'm gonna try to hustle it. Yeah.
So the two of you kind of keep walking, and then Pashmina, you turn off and just walk to the door. The professor, you keep continuing down Melrose Avenue towards people. They sort of pause, I think, as they see you, where they see you turn towards the door and also you continuing towards them. Yeah. And their stance definitely changes a little bit. They sort of perceive a threat, I think.
I as I'm walking, I look back and I wave to Pashmina. The professor waves to Pashmina, goodbye, Miriam. And I turn back to look at them, and I trip and I stumble. The professor falls to the ground, gets back up, and looks directly at the two people coming towards us. Malcolm, how have you been? And just kind of stumbles his way over to them
to feign some drunkenness.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm gonna need you to convince them you are not in fact, a threat. I'm gonna just say this is a demanding task, 9 or higher.
Okay. Can I again argue psychology?
No, this is definitely a performance.
Okay.
If you have anything about lying, deceiving, performing, influencing people.
My arguments are all just arguments. They're not actual ground. So I'm like, I could navigate my way through this with my find the way.
So this is not your forte, but I will say if you would like to apply a level of effort, you can spend 3 points from your intellect pool. So subtract 3. And then it will be 1 step easier. Now remember to take your edge off of that too.
Take edge out, so it's a 0 edge?
Is your edge?
1, for intellect, 1.
You have 1 point of edge in intellect, so you would normally spend 3 points out of the pool, take your edge off of that, so you spend 2 points.
2, okay, perfect. I will do that. So I need to roll a d20 to get a,
6 or higher.
6
now,
or higher. Because
you are putting a little bit of effort into this, you're trying.
That's a 5.
That is a 5.
Can I, what can I use to reroll?
But we don't have XP yet.
I don't have XP yet, there's no XP yet.
So there's no rerolling for you. They immediately, you stumble towards them, and perhaps we don't see this. Maybe Pretty Baby does, because you're paying a lot of attention to
them. I am also shouting, just so anyone could hear.
They exchange a glance. They very clearly look at each other, and there's just this nod of, we're going to deal with this person. And you see one of them start booking it past you. They're going to start running to Pashmina. Pashmina, you're basically you're at the door.
Okay.
You're at the door. They're going to start running to you, the professor. They're going to try and get past, and then the other one is going to move to engage the professor. With that, let's have everybody roll initiative so we can figure out who's going to act before or after these two individuals. So if you are trained in an initiative task, go ahead and just add 3 to whatever it is that you roll.
Okay.
Otherwise, give me a flat d20 unless you have anything that helps you with initiative.
So danger sense would just count for...
What does it say?
It says your initiative is eased.
Yeah, that makes it one step easier. Just add +3 to your
roll. +3, okay.
And then you have to use
I've already,
one.
I've already done
perfect.
That because we've made that deal before.
Would any of my perceptive skills assist with my initiative roll?
Not for initiative, no. Sounds you gotta have something specific for initiative.
I'm gonna be last, really. Hope I'm last.
Okay, who got less than 9?
Me!
Okay, V and Pashmina?
I got 22.
Cool. That means the professor and Pretty Baby. Pretty Baby, what'd you get?
17.
Great. The two of you are going to act first, then the... totally not Jax or something else that you don't know what they are will act, and then Pashmina and me will get to respond. So, Professor, you are in a situation where one of them is in the process of running past you, and the other one is in the process of attacking you.
Okay.
So you're kind of, I would say, in immediate distance to both of them, which means if you want to do some sort of melee, you could, but you can only attack one person at a time.
Does tripping count as an attack?
Yes, but I would have it provide a different function. So you don't necessarily need to make an attack roll. You would do some sort of other check for it.
So the professor does notice that this is not working. The person who's about to run past him, professor will probably, the person will like kind of still try to convey some of the drunkenness and stick his foot out and try to attempt to knock him over.
Okay. You want to trip that person?
Yeah.
So
it won't be, I want, as long as it, yeah, yes.
Instance,
yes.
Are you trying to do damage or not trying to do damage?
I'm trying to stall. So if I do damage, that's fine, but I'm not actively trying to do damage because if he does fall, I probably will be like, oh, I'm so sorry, sir, I'm drunk.
So what do you have to help you make this easier? Because right now your difficulty is demanding.
Would unarmed help my unarmed skill? Because I'm not technically using...
Yeah, I'd allow it. I think legs. You can sack... It is an unarmed. You were trying to trip them. I'd say instead of doing the damage, you would knock them over. Kind of trade damage for an effect in this instance. So that brings it down to needing to roll a 6 or higher. Put any effort into this. I'm going to say this is probably... I take an argument for might or speed. So you're depends on kind of how... Are you like throwing your body into it or are you just trying to move quickly?
I'd be throwing my body into it.
Okay. In which case, then it'd be a might test if you want to put some effort into it.
And what was the roll I need to meet at the moment?
Right now, you need to roll a 6 or higher.
6 or higher? I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah.
All
right.
Play it risky.
12.
All right, so you succeed. What does it look like when you knock him over?
So the professor is like goes to hold his jaw, and he accidentally knocks his glasses off of his face, mm-hmm. and he bends down to pick it up, and then like right when the guy's about to pass him, so he runs at the professor. They collide. They both go on the floor. The professor just kind of drunkenly rolls on top of him and says, "Sorry, sir. Sorry. No, it's my fault." And just really like it's like the not actively assaulting or attacking, but it definitely is like I'm definitely making this harder for him to get up, like mm-hmm. pulling on his scarf to try or whatever he's. Just to kind of,
You're, like, taking up as much space as you can.
Sir, help. Come help, please. I'm an old man.
Pretty Baby, you also get to respond. So you saw one of them, because you decided to go after the professor, you'll see him get tripped, but this happens, like, kind of in that exact moment. What are you doing?
I'm going to pick up the one that's attacking the professor, then. Now, Pretty Baby is one with a lot of tools. In fact, I get a bonus extra toolkit from being perceptive. Would Pretty Baby use a silencer, or is that a given?
I don't think silencers really exist.
How about loudeners?
We're still kind of like mid-industrial era. I don't think like you would probably need to go out of your way to craft something that is a silencer.
Okay. I feel like they'd be a
one-time use thing. I think I might need to make you do like a flashback or something to see if you have a silencer.
Okay.
So if you want to put effort into this, we'll just spend it as essentially you kind of go back and, in the past you have made one of these.
Yeah.
Like, are you particularly good at making them? How would you come by them?
I feel it's more like a found object, sort of just kind of like, oh, this can be used as this.
Okay.
Perhaps some like an old hit and you just took what you got out of them.
Something you know how to do, like grabbing a bell as you walk in,
okay.
sort of thing.
Yeah. So if you go ahead and spend effort from probably your intellect pool
mm-hmm.
for that flashback as you kind of, we remember back this moment as you're like screwing the silencer onto your weapon and remember that you came prepared with that.
All right. 3 points. from there.
Yeah, you now have a silencer on your gun, but it will be one time use.
I would like to line up a shot with the rifle.
Okay.
And Pretty Babe will take a shot at the one going after the professor. And as far, I don't think I have anything else.
I assume you started to, you're within long range, but you're not at extreme. Cool.
Yeah. And so, just proficient with the weapon that I'm using.
Yeah. Sure, so you're proficient, which means it's a two-handed weapon. I think you're trying to use a heavy weapon for this. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and mark that off on your load as one of your like five things you can kind of have on you.
Large weapon.
A large two-handed weapon. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't make it any easier for you, but it does mean you don't have an inability. So right now you need to beat a 9 or higher. Do you want to put effort into this?
Yes, please. Will this be a speed or a might?
I think it's speed because you're trying to shoot. It's not like reliant on your physical prowess.
Cool.
So you have one level of effort, so that's a 6 or higher.
All right, let's see what I got.
That is an 8. Oh. You just squeak by, but you land the hit for 6 points of damage.
Ooh.
That is
That's a lot.
On a scale of 1 to dead.
They are not dead.
Are they maimed?
But yes, I'd say they are. Yes, they are
nice.
Maimed.
Slap my hand.
Yeah, touch my hands.
There's like a small sound, but not a loud one, because you use a silencer, like a little bit of a, like a, probably V can hear it because you're still relatively close. But you see, Professor, Peshmina, if you were looking, you would see it too. But this person gets hit by a bullet, and they kind of like stumble down for a moment and like look around as if they're trying to figure out who shot at them. So with that, however, both of them are going to go. The one that you are wrestling with is going to attempt to dislodge you. They didn't buy your drunkenness act, so they are going to attempt to dislodge you violently.
That's fair.
So I need you to roll to defend yourself.
Okay.
This is a speed defense. Most defenses are speed defense. You need to beat a 9 or higher.
Okay.
Okay, hit, unless you want to put in effort.
19.
As they attempt to wrestle you up, to no avail.
I'm turtling on their back.
Yeah, it's just awkward. There's like a mess of bodies, and they're sort of cursing at you loudly. The other one, they're going to, I think, try and look around and attempt to spot Pretty Baby, because I think they're more concerned by the fact that they just got shot and less concerned by the weird drunken man wrestling with their friend on the ground.
Priorities.
So, Pretty Baby, are you attempting to hide at all?
I am attempting to stay out of sight, but not necessarily trying to, like, camouflage, you know.
Okay, I'm going to have you then just give me a roll. I'm going to essentially, because you're defending against the being spotted. So 9 or higher.
11.
You are obscured enough, probably, in the sort of dimness of the light. The person they are looking around, they'll probably spot you maybe on the next turn if you're not actively trying to hide yourself, but for the moment, they can't see where you are. You, probably no one really notices because they're like fumbling around and it's dark and there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
They are clearly reaching for some sort of...
The person who's looking for baby?
The person who got shot. One who got shot is mad about it.
That tracks.
The anger bullets work.
With that though, Peshmina, what did the two of you do?
I got a 1, so how about you go first?
Okay. I'm at the door. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, with authority, because of my demeanor of command, just knock a little bit. Open the doors of urgent consequence.
So here's a fun part, though. You are like, it's like you went up to an apartment building door and knocked on the door, hoping that someone is going to respond to the front door of someone's apartment building.
Okay. Yes.
Cool. You knock for a while.
Okay.
Nothing immediately happens.
I try the handle.
It's locked.
That makes sense. It is 5 a.m. I mean, I hate to say it. That's gonna be my turn.
It's like a six second turn.
Like,
they're pretty quick. So like you knock on the door. You like try the handle, and no one immediately comes.
See if they'll buzz you up
to the door to like.
Is there a glass? Is there like? It's not a glass. There's no way it's a glass door.
No, it's probably a wooden door here of some kind.
There's not like a glass window, like a burgle me window where I can punch through. And
The old burgle me window.
Exactly. Maybe in where.
No, there's gates.
Crescent Hill, there's gates. Definitely not here.
Yeah.
Here it's just a big old wooden door with like a sturdy lock on it. V, what are you doing?
Can I mark off a gearbox for a bandolier and also have sleeping powder on me? Because I would like to use it on the guy who is one of the guys. I think the one who's getting wrestled, because he seems to be under control and doesn't get rid of it.
Mm.
Please use it on the one who's wrestling, because there's no way
it's
going to
hit
a problem.
It's going to hit him. So it's between the two.
Yeah. No, please do it. Do it.
Okay, great. Yes. I'm so excited.
Cool. Attempting how are you applying the sleep powder? Like, what does this look like?
It's not more like the chloroform. I think it's more like on a
chloroform. Okay,
in sleep the face. Juice, just as chloroform.
So you're trying to get into
sleep
the middle.
Juice. This marks sleep juice.
You like look, pour some of it out really fast, and then you're trying to get into this like wrestle on the ground where everybody like.
Yep, because something bad's gonna happen.
Attempting to get one of them to be slightly chloroformed in the face. I'm sure this will go great.
Well, I mean, it seems that the professor has this pretty under control.
Uh huh. Uh huh. Mm-hmm. So this is definitely a 9 or higher currently.
Great. Demanding task. Wonderful. I have a knowledge in medicine, and I am trained as a surgeon to deal with patients that fight me.
I like where you're attempting to justify it, but I'm gonna say no.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't actually know how I'm gonna get through this door.
Cool. Yes, I will take some effort and I will
fall. And one thing I will remind you all, that you don't have to take recovery rolls when you're injured, and your first recovery roll is only a single action. So okay. That is something you can do on your turn if you want to get some points back.
And what is recovery? You just roll 1d6?
You roll 1d6 and add your tier, which is 1. And then cool. You get that many points back.
Sorry, Marcus! Oh, it's a 10?
It's a 10. You succeed.
Great!
You sneak in there and you like shove this in his face. Yeah, what happens? What is this sleep juice?
I think he's just like fumbling and fighting, and then all of a sudden he just kind of just like, it's a, I don't think he like goes to sleep, he just like zones out and just kind of lays there. It's like,
it's wine hour somewhere.
It's wine hour.
I think this is probably something that lasts for a couple of turns. Like, eventually. Yeah.
He'll come to. He'll come like, to. He's dealt with it. Currently.
Yeah. Yeah. So it buys you a little bit of time. So mm-hmm. he's sleep juiced. So it probably buys you a turn or two. Mm-hmm.
It's like, I bought you some time. Tie him up and take the other guy.
That brings Thank us you. Back to Pretty Baby and the Professor. You see this person, like, you're wrestling with them. They kind of go, like, a little, like, slack. And they sort of start blinking. And they make this, like,
noise. There. Good night.
You know, you probably know that this doesn't last very long. Like, yes. this buys you a few seconds.
Then I will use, I guess, my climbing gear. Would that, if I had climbing gear, to use a rope to tie it up?
Yeah, for sure.
The professor, from his waist, he's got a little, like, a bunch of rope there, and he uses it and he ties, hog ties, this gentleman.
Pretty Baby looks down to see if the person that they pegged with the first shot is still up.
They're not dead. Are they? So yes, they're still up.
Oh, okay. They're standing up, or are they down? Or
they probably slumped over a little bit, but like they're not on the ground. That's probably the moment, like as you like peer back out to look at them, they lock eye contact with you.
Perfect. Yeah. I'm going to say hello with another one. This one's going to be loud.
This one will be loud.
But you're only loud once, and then you leave.
Yes.
This is 9 or higher. Unless 9 or you higher. Because you put effort in last time, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let me do that again. 13.
13. Please, tell me how you murder this person.
I a murder? Come on.
You dealt 12 points of damage to them.
I was just aiming for a leg.
No, that's not. I don't think 12 points of damage from a gun is typically non-lethal.
So yeah, looking down and seeing that the person is still up, Pretty Baby takes into account, oh, this isn't just some thug. This might actually be a threat, and they saw my face. Can't have that happening. So as they peek and they lock eyes for that one instant, that instant becomes an eternity for them. The moment that we both see each other there is a dialogue.
As the second shot rings out, he thugs to the ground, lands, and blood starts sort of pooling around him from his two bullet wounds. His friend is out of it for a little bit longer. Pashmina, what do you do?
Fellows, I need a key. Do either of those, and I think Pashmina finally looks over and just sees like both bodies on the ground. Last time we weren't this effective.
Kick the door down.
So I think Pashmina is going to try to, I think I'm going to have to run over to get a key.
Yeah, I think let's pause for a second on the combat order because you have a little bit of time. Because one of the things I think you notice is there are a couple of lights go on in windows nearby because there was obviously a pretty loud gunshot. Things are going to start moving quickly, but we can pause on being in combat order for a second. Mm-hmm. I'll let you know when something reappears that you need to deal with imminently. So Pashmina, you're like yelling back at them.
I think I'm going to do a little bit of like first yell and then like one, like do a couple five steps over and then yell again and then jog over.
So you make your way over to where V and the professor are like tying up this.
Can I help him? Person. Can V help professor tie this person up and make it faster? That way it's done.
Yeah. It takes, you know, 30 seconds to a minute. The person's very clearly coming out of it. You may have to like dose them again, I think, a second time. I'm limiting the amount of effectiveness this has because it's very powerful.
Oh, I like it. No. I like the few turns. This is great because it adds the peril.
The two of you finish tying him up. I'll have you mark off another use of your
ability. As
you
have to, like, helps.
Get out of it. Like, as you're helping, you're like shoving this in their face.
Did he see our faces? faces?
You might have seen your face, Peshmina. You definitely saw the professor, and he saw V's. Probably, he didn't see pretty big.
Great. Does anyone have a blind?
Yeah, yeah. You're not part of a cloak. It's like blindfold.
So I think they're tied up, this person. Uh-huh. Now they're blindfolded. I'm going to use my erase memory skill. Oh, yeah. And I can make, on a success, I erase the last 5 minutes. I think that's this entire encounter.
Yeah. I'd say so. The fight was only probably about 5 minutes, the fight and the tie-up. So yeah, they'd forget what happened. They would probably remember them like walking down the alley and seeing two people and then...
But not our faces.
Not your faces, yeah. Not close enough.
Good.
So, with this 9 or higher.
And I'm going to put a level of effort, which would be 3 extra. So, single digits on intellect, guys.
Okay, so you had 3 for your ability to erase memory, 3 for effort, minus your edge. So, you spent
5
points off. So, 6 or higher. But, don't you have something that applies to this?
I do. I have a special ability that influences minds.
Yes. So this does count, so it drops it down again. 3 or higher, let's see.
20!
A natural 20 gets you a major effect. In this instance, you also get back the cost.
Oh, yay! And then, may I offer a major effect?
Yeah.
There's going to be a couple major effects. I want them to forget the last 5 hours.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is that they forget a much bigger portion of time as a major effect. Yeah, let's go ahead and give me, roll a d20. Let's see how many hours they forget.
2.
They forget 2 hours.
You know what? I'm glad I used the 21st.
Yeah, it was a big swing. I was like, yeah, that's a big swing. But they forget the last 2 hours.
Great.
What happens to them. So what does it look like when you erase someone's memory?
I think because the blindfold's there, you guys don't see the victim's eyes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I think if Pashmina just walks over there and puts her hand directly on their foreheads. Mm-hmm. And, like, I feel like there's a moment where everyone feels as if Peshmina is going to be able to crush their head. Like, that's just the environment she's exuding. Mm-hmm. And then she just pulls her hand away and the body drops.
Yeah, this person's definitely, I think, going to be out of it for a little bit. Like, you just ripped 2 hours of memories from them. They are going to be stunned for at least a few more minutes. That buys you definitely some time. You see Peshmina do this.
I think also there's like a strain on her as well for a second.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what did you do?
He will not remember who we are. He might come to you about a migraine. A really bad one. It'll probably last a week. Just act cool.
You removed the memory of our faces? That's...
Give or take. And
amazing!
Then being here and not this location per se, but that their friend died here. I mean, they'll figure it out soon enough. Is he dead?
The professor gets up and runs to the door with his, and pulls out a burglary kit,
yep.
Burglary gear.
Some lockpicks.
Yes, and I use it to hopefully get into the front door.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say we're not in a particularly affluent neighborhood, so it's a pretty standard task to break down this door. You know that time is short as more lights are coming on around you, so 6 or higher.
7.
Wow. It is
close.
You see the professor, you kind of like lean over on the door, and you put the lockpicks in, you hear the sound of the, there's like probably like you snap one of the lockpicks by accident, and there's sort of like a moment where you're like, ooh. And then we hear the sound of the locks tumbling into place, and a door clicks open.
While this was happening, I think V mm-hmm. does check the body and does verify that this person died.
Oh, yes. They were shot twice, fatally. In fairness, when you get to them, they're probably not, like, completely dead, because it does take, like, a minute or two for people to bleed out.
Oh, no, they're going to remember us. They can't remember us.
If you would like to try and save their life, you certainly could. Try, but it's gonna
it
be,
is gonna be lethal, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're on the cusp of
that. Yeah, yeah.
It's up to you.
Up to me. I think V would try to stabilize. I think I'm just trying to justify it as like, would V do something like V is a doctor and would do that, like, no matter what? Because it's
do you want to roll a yes no die? Or
yeah,
do
roll
you
a yes no. Roll a yes no. Does V help? Yes, V has to help.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
cool.
While Peshmina is erasing this other person's memory, and probably neither the professor or Peshmina are watching mm-hmm. V, you go over to this person who's very clearly bleeding out in the street. Like they've lost consciousness, but they're on the cusp of whether or not you could see them. So I think this is challenging. You need a roll of 15 or higher.
I have the medicine knowledge, but I also have like the healing touch.
So healing touch is normally something that you would only do on a player character because NPC
health
pools work a little differently.
Cool, that's fine.
But I would let you count that as a level of reducing difficulty, but I think it's going to
cost me
probably. Yeah, I'm going to make you spend the. How much does it normally cost you?
1 int.
Okay.
This ability is a difficulty too, so.
Yes. Yeah, so spend. I think for this, spend the 1 int.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to any effort you would like to apply.
As you said, it's still 15. No, it's lower now.
Medicine drops it down to 1, so it's 12.
Right now. Okay. Cool.
plus the healing with the spending the point drops it down to 9.
Okay, cool. Let's take the risk. Okay. At least I tried. The whole point is at least I tried. I rolled a 4.
He does not make it.
Mm-hmm. I think because of the gunshot, it's like it's the applied pressure and the hope that the blood flow stops, but it never does. I think that's kind of where it is. It becomes that hopeless. It's already hopeless to begin with, and it's like the chance of maybe it can help and at least to have tried and done the thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of where V stands.
The bandages that he is holding on, they become soaked with blood, and we sort of see them stain all the way through. And V's sort of monitoring this person's vitals and feels like the last beats of their pulse fade out and their breath stops.
And it's very calm. Like, V doesn't show any, like, desperation or any sadness. Just very calmly just closes their eyes and walks up and meets the rest of the door.
Okay. You go up to the professor and Peshmina, who's standing there picking the locks. Pretty baby, are you coming closer or are you going to stay in your perch?
I'm definitely going to change locations.
Okay.
One shot quiet, one shot loud. People can look over there now. I'm just going to climb on down and find another spot. On the street, just see if there's anything else coming, but also just looking for the next.
Taking a look out while they're getting into the front door, go ahead and give me a roll.
All right. For looking and seeing, I'm going to use my noticing small details.
Yeah, I'm not sure this actually counts because it's not really a small detail. Baseline, it's going to be...
7.
7. You do not see whatever is totally there.
I see nothing.
You see nothing.
Once the door's open, the professor swings it open and says, Peshmina, find him.
I think she's startled that you told her to do something. And then she just runs up the stairs. Like, no, she just runs up the stairs.
I'm going to go, like, stay kind of on this. I'm going to kind of keep an eye on where she's going. Like, what does this building look like, this opening?
So you see, like, a dimly lit hallway, probably wooden floors, some peeling, faded wallpaper on the walls. There's a stairs leading up, and there are probably at least 4 apartments on each floor. It's sort of like one in the front, one in the back, and then each floor has another set.
Okay, so she's already up there and she's knocking, and I think she looks to see it, but like, it was pretty clear that she's like, go do this. So I think she knocks with, once again, authority, because it's still active.
Yep, has not been announced, true.
And just says the word pumpernickel.
So you say the word pumpernickel loudly, there's kind of this moment, and I think as you're like rapping at the door again, the door like opens very slowly, and you see this sort of kind of scruffy looking teenager clearly standing in the doorway. You'd probably pin them around 12, 13 years old.
I'm going to recount that V does go with you.
Okay.
Okay, so Peshmina gets up the stairs, raps on the door, probably V follows in.
V's like cleaning the blood off their hands right now, just kind of slowly like walking up.
Right, as the door goes, and this sort of scruffy looking kid, brown skin, dark brown hair, his eyes are kind of a rich hazel as he like looks at you very suspiciously, a little tiny bit of light glinting that you can just make him out. And You Peshmina would probably put him as younger, but everyone else
I think he's like
older because 8. He's malnourished, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's not eating it. Like he hasn't eaten as much as a noble child would. So he looks probably 8 to you, but he's actually like 12 or 13. And he's like, pumpernickel?
Pumpernickel.
Are you the one
from... Yes, let us in.
Was that you outside with the noise? And he's like opening the door.
I don't think she answers that question. And she's just like, did you pack?
Why would I have packed? You didn't give me... just said to meet you here.
Great.
It's like, who are you?
Hi, I'm V. I work over at the rail care. Like down the street. Way down the street.
As you walk into the room, it's a very small, like, the front room is kitchen living area. Like, it's a small room. And there's a couple of doors off of it. One you would sort of hope is a bathroom of some kind. And one is sort of bedroom. And there's a woman standing in there. She... also looks fairly young, but is bears similar features to the child. She sort of like looks a little bit less concerned. Well, no, she looks as concerned, but she looks probably less scruffy than the child. And she's like, and my son said he spoke to someone in the dream. That was you?
Yes.
And V's going to keep talking to the kid.
You get recognized. Yeah. Or vaguely. She's like, I know about real care. I think we've been there before.
Yes. Yes, most very, very likely. Sabri, yes?
Yes.
How old are you? Tell me how old you are.
I'm 12.
You're 12?
Almost 13.
Oh, wow. That's a very cool age. It's a very big age. Things start changing. Well, very, very strange.
Yes. Things have been a bit different lately.
Your son is one of the lucky and glorious enough to be burdened with the gift of being a weaver.
Right. That's what I thought was going on.
Yeah. So he has... his skill is manifesting, and what that means is... you have a very limited amount of times before he becomes conscripted into the Ministry of Rest.
And you kind of, I think, see her face. Does that, like, anger, betrayal, like, understanding, like, and just goes through this sort of gambit of emotions. And she looks at me and she's like, we can't just leave. We don't have anywhere to go.
You need to at least leave here. We just stopped two people from coming in this apartment.
Is that what that sound was outside?
V, were they friendly?
They wrestled the professor, so I don't think so.
So I believe in the future they will come back, and they will come back with more numbers. Your son will not have a choice any longer.
Right, so you're saying my option is to leave, or to leave. I'm not going to let them have him.
It's not a good position to be in.
How do you know this?
I'm a weaver myself.
Can you train him? Can you teach him?
You
have to be able.
No, I think Pashmina's actually stuck with this because she has to look someone dead in the eye and say, no, just leave.
That doesn't seem like a thing Pashmina would really get stuck on.
No, it's Claudia's. I'm Claudia.
Claudia's stuck on this.
Here's what we'll do. V, may I transcript a day's worth of lodging in your...
Do you want them to stay over at my place? That's fine, yes.
Great. We'll get lodging for one day. Let's pack your things. And after that, we'll figure out a train car out of...
Pashmina, you are planning this so well, like a business trip. Do you have family?
No, not here.
Not really? Where?
Well, we emigrated in.
It's difficult to get out of the city, let alone come in here.
Most of the people we came with didn't make it. The Edgelands are dangerous, and I
would not ask you to go back out there. We can lodge you safely at the rail care. Nobody's really ever allowed in that back room anyway. It is fine. And then from there, we can probably look into relocating you into a place nearby.
Do you work in this district?
Yes. I don't understand. Why can't you just teach him? If you can do this, the only problem is that they know he's here. As soon as they don't know he's here, then it's fine.
Pashmina, why don't you train Sabi?
I've never trained a child. I've never worked with a child that wasn't working at the fabricator. I have a small brother. How old is...
He's 12, almost 13. You helped me earlier. You could totally teach me. She was really good. And Sabri like starts like talking to someone, and she's like, she was really great. She put this old barrier around. She kept us super safe. It was really cool. I want to learn things from you.
From me?
Well, you're literally the only other weaver I have ever met. So yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, I mean, obviously, I am the one at this group who has the most skills in, of course. Yes. Let's negotiate contracts at Railcare.
I think Atis, the mother, like, looks at
we'll
me
talk about
she
it.
Talks about contracts. Like,
we'll arrange it when we get back.
At that point, you begin, I think, to help them to load up a few, like, smaller bags with some of their things.
The professor is in the lobby, the entrance
the
of the hallway
yeah.
Up there. Is there a window?
No.
Then the professor's going to kind of peek open the door and see if he can, like, kind of, is there, like, a candlelight or something?
Yeah,
or?
I think maybe they keep, like, a really dim, a gas light just in case anyone's coming.
The professor turns it down pretty low, mm-hmm. Not all the way off because he doesn't want to light it again. It's too much work. So the professor turns dim the lantern and cracks the door and just kind of peeks out.
Pretty Baby, are you still in the street?
Pretty Baby is still in the street. I am wondering, there's no one else coming, like, besides
the people. Well, that's what I was going to ask about
okay.
Where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you looked around and you didn't notice anything.
So I guess, mm-hmm. Got down, didn't see anything. My next thought will be going back up.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm wondering, there's still a body over there.
Yeah.
And also seeing if the person who's tied up is still
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
If the coast is clear enough, I would like to grab whichever body is unintended.
Professor, you were kind of in this hallway, like, peering out, and Pretty Baby, you sort of look one end of the street, and you look the other end of the street, and you kind of sweep in it. You don't notice anything, and then you sort of turn back to go to the body and move it, and that's when you realize that you totally missed these people who had, like, come, they walked out of an alleyway. Like, they were clearly waiting around the corner, and they were, like, they emerge out of the alleyway, and they're moving very cautiously, as if recently there was a gunfight here, and they're not really sure why. And they immediately, I think, right as you see it, like, that, you know, exclamation mark, as they see the body, and you're like, ooh! About to move towards it, and then they see their friend who's unconscious or vaguely out of it, having recently had 2 hours of his memory erased.
Okay.
And that, I think they immediately pull out weapons.
There's two of them?
Yeah. Awesome. And they start, like, looking down the street to see who's there. Professor, I'm not sure you can quite see them yet from this angle.
So they are pulling out stuff, so I might not be able to see them, but is there any, like awareness that anyone's out there? That
yeah. I think you probably, maybe hear some commotion, you hear some bumbling or something, right? It's that, oh, someone's dead over here, if you had noticed earlier, you would have heard, some people talking or in the alley would be like, I heard gunshots, are our friends okay? Let's go check. So this is, right as Pashmina and V are moving up the stairs.
Now that I've seen that there are two other folks who are mm-hmm. obviously looking for something, I want Luna to play her part.
Okay.
Luna being a chunky moth, mm-hmm. Would it be possible to create some sort of noise from either an off alley or somewhere, opposite from where I am? Because she's just kind of floating around.
How would Luna make a noise?
Is there a garbage can or
yeah.
a bin?
Oh, yeah, there's probably something.
Or something just to flap into, make some.
You want this mouth to get an inch, around.
As they do.
Luna's also like luminescent in some variety, mm-hmm. so give off some light, make something down the other end of the street, give them a distraction. So typically, because Luna is your companion, you're going to roll for Luna in this instance. They're demanding, so 9 or higher. Luna doesn't really have any particular skills, so I'm just going to have you give it a roll and see how effective this is.
Okay. 9.
Luna finds and dives into, an open bin of some kind and just starts rattling around in there. Because I imagine, she'd come back to you, right? Mm-hmm. And so you kind of, non-verbally communicate this order and, or stick her in a trash can, and she knows. She's a smart chunky ma. And just and they all become turn around, and you see them look, and they're like, what's that? You go check that one out. And so one of them, she points to the person next to her to go down the street and see what this noise is that Lynn was making. And then she continues looking around kind of where you are. Professor, what do you want to do?
I do see, I can sense the movement.
Yeah,
the professor shuts the door. Locks it again, just runs upstairs. We have to go.
I think that's probably around the time where we're like, fine, pack essentials.
They shove some things into a few bags.
Is there a back way out?
Yes, there's one into the alleyway between the buildings.
That's probably our best bet.
Well, it's where I like to play. Is that the street? And I've been told not to play in the street.
Cool. Yes, there's a lot of corpses in there.
What?
Nice to meet you. Time to go. Could you lead us the way out?
And she will lead you back down the stairs and to kind of the other end of the hallway. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, though, pretty baby, what are you doing?
One peeled off to go check the noise, mm-hmm. and the rest are still there.
There's only two. So the other one is still there. Probably attending to the seemingly out of it individual. Get them to respond to anything. What happened?
I'm going to try to flank them and get around them. Not to attack or necessarily engage right now. Uh-huh. Just so I can follow them.
You want to try and follow them?
Yeah.
Okay. I think in that instance, it'll be just some, a stealth roll, right? You're just trying to, sneak around, get to a position where you can follow them when they peel off. Yeah, 9 or higher for your stealth roll. Which one are you trying to follow?
The one that gave the order.
Okay, this one's a 12 or higher.
Oh, shit.
You can put in, because you were tier 1, 1 tier of effort.
Okay. 17.
17. You conceal yourself, and you are in wait to see whatever it is that they do.
Here's what I imagine the mm-hmm. packing went, and we're already out. But they packed some food and maybe a pair of clothes, and Pashmina's and we need the richest thing in the apartment. She just carries this
ooh,
is
a music box.
she's like, this
and
be important.
Immediately unpacks it on the other side of the bags. So
she's putting these in the bag. These going out.
I think she. Yeah, I think probably. She will take the quilt. If there's any very nice piece of this, and then I think Pashmina's gonna hold it as they go down the stairs and out.
So you walk down the stairs, you go out the back door. This enters into it's a very narrow alleyway. It's you couldn't really put a cart or anything through here, but it's people. And perhaps maybe once upon a time intended to be yards for these buildings, but it's very clearly not.
Mm-hmm.
So you can head away from the building as the four of you try and move quite quietly. Eventually, Luna will get discovered and they're like, it's a moth! In here.
It's a chunky one.
Weird! And they sort of jump back.
And it's just because flutters in their face.
Flutters in their face. They go back to their boss.
The attackers abandon the rest of their mission and head out to tend to their wounded and to their dead. Pretty Baby continues to follow them and soon spots their red armbands with a howling dog, revealing they are members of a small local gang, the Red Dogs, hired muscle. The sort that would be paid for a simple bag and grab by someone more powerful and more important. The Red Dogs return to their home base within a factory in Five Irons.
What kind of factory is it? Can we choose what kind of factory?
What kind of factory is the Red Dog's base in? Or you tell me, where is the Red Dog's base?
It's a cannery.
Okay.
Bottom of a cannery.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
So the Red Dog's base is in the bottom of a cannery.
The rest of the group returned to rail care with their new, young, and enthusiastic charge, Sabri, and their mother, Hatice.
I'm going to send Luna back to the car just to let them know.
Okay, you see Luna when you ride the window against a window.
She can phase through. I don't
know.
I'm pretty sure she can phase through.
But she hits it once to get her attention, then phases through because she knows.
Yeah.
Because she's polite.
Yeah. And she knocks. Sabri is very, very intrigued by this shiny moth. Hatice, on the other hand, the mother, is much less excited about anything that's going on.
The professor opens the window and Luna flies in and lands on his arm. And the professor leans down to Sabri. Yeah, come look.
Can I touch it?
Would you have given me a chance, like, actually kind of study this? No invasive stuff, but, like, to study this creature.
To observe,
yes, yeah, perfect, okay. If you want to get a good close look, this is a very good friend of mine's very good friend.
I think Sabri, like, reaches out a hand, and I feel like we see, like, Luna's little proboscis sort of reach out. She's probably not very, friendly with a lot of people, so I don't think
she's like a bird, probably.
Yeah,
yeah. You gotta prove it.
Yes,
or have like sugar water.
Yeah. It's treats only. It's a kind of that, and then flies away. I think,
I didn't mean to scare.
She just has places to go and things to do. Hi, I'm the professor.
Of what?
Many things. You're a weaver.
Right.
Not yet.
They're the people that make the thing happen every night.
You're not wrong. However, we are going to write up a contract and we're going to find a way for you to have training.
I don't really have money.
That's fine?
Thank you.
How long will training take?
You look over and we see, like, Sabri is, like, looking at things, like, we're in the hospital, we're like, ooh, what's this do?
Is this a sleep juice? No.
Here. The professor just pulls something out of his pocket that looks, like, interesting. Ooh.
Ooh.
Is it just like a creature in a test tube?
So it's essentially like a, so what it is it's one of those... those resin casts of, like, you know, they have scorpions inside in the Southwest, yeah. Okay. But it's like that. But with this,
ooh, what's this? And then, like, you know, holds it up to the light and bites it, and, you know, whatever else.
I wouldn't bite that because your teeth look small.
Oh, okay.
You can have it.
Really?
Yeah, it's called a Chirash.
Oh.
If you ever see one in person,
uh-huh.
Do not touch it. Oh. Don't look at it. And whatever you do, if it says any words to you, run.
It can talk?
Not in the way you'd expect.
Hopefully that will never happen. I think Hatice, like, steps in.
The adults are talking and she, like, steers him away and sits him down.
Honestly, it's going to take some time. If he's good. If we're going to continue training, he will need to be on a strict sleeping schedule, at least in the meantime, so I can make a protective wrapping around his space. We will train him until he can weave his dreams without alerting the Ministry of Rest. You have a safe spot for him?
Yes, it's the cart directly behind Peshmina's.
Wait, like...
That one. And she, like, points, like, down the end of the hallway.
Yeah, it's where there's only one path and it's through Peshmina's room to get there.
No.
It's a little hallway in Peshmina's room. It's just the one right next
Yeah,
to
right
it.
Directly next.
Okay. So it's going to take time and you will need close observation. So within, let's say, the next 2 weeks, you will remain here. But in the meantime, we find somewhere a little more permanent for you.
I can stay for at least a week or two. I don't really have family here, but I know people. I'm sure someone will help. I don't want to impose on you more than I already am. And she, like, gestures over at Sabri, who's, like, playing with this thing. Just keeping the ministry away from him is more than I could ever ask for. And then she, I think, looks at you again, Pashmina, and she's like, I know you might trust them, but I know other people who've sent their children there, and they never see them again.
We promise you that we'll do everything in our power to make sure your son's all right.
Thank you. I don't know why you're doing this, but I thank you anyway.
Can I make you some tea?
Yes.
And I think at this point we see, like, the sun cresting over the horizon.
It's very early, and Sabri should get some sleep.
I will make sure to be ready. And I think she retires. I think she doesn't look anyone in the eye, and I think she just preemptively makes a barrier, especially the fact now that somebody else found her around the time that she found Sabri.
Back at the factory, Pretty Baby watches for several hours. The cannery workers come, the shift begins, and dawn passes. Eventually, someone different approaches the factory. They are clearly well-dressed, and though they are attempting to blend in, it is obvious they do not belong here. Pretty Baby sees this person, watches as they speak with the leader of the Red Dogs from the night before. There is a furtive conversation, an exchange of something in their hands, and the visitor leaves.
Pretty Baby sees this. Is there anything that he can pick up off of the person that is trying to do this incognito?
Yeah, you want to give me a little perception-y sort of roll?
Can I use my perceptions?
Yes, I think that your little, your fine details one, you definitely count for this, so that'll make it one easier.
And call to mind any minor trivia or detail based upon what I do see. Would that be a separate roll?
I think that'd be separate.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that'd be separate.
Where's my GM intrusions at? I have two now. I'm waiting for that first one.
Mm-hmm. Here's Did you just roll or one?
I have.
You rolled
no, it was 11. One. You read it wrong.
Oh, see, I didn't even read you the difficulty number, but it doesn't really matter. It
doesn't matter. One.
I kind of want to, I want to both give you the thing that you want, but give it to you with some trouble.
Give it to me with as much trouble as you can.
You're standing, maybe you're probably not even like on a rooftop. You're just sort of like trying to be nonchalant, like casually like leaning against a wall or something, watching this building. As you sort of like look at this person trying to sort of act casual, they lock eyes with you just for a moment, just enough time. And they sort of smile. That you know they saw you, and they turn and just walk past you. But you do see a flash right on their lapel. There is a pin that you recognize. It's probably their coat, their overcoat, like swishes to the side that reveals this. It is a small gold circle, a triangle, and then inside of that triangle there is an eye. You recognize this as the symbol of the sigil, the seal of the Ministry of Rest. And that's what you saw.
Thank you so much for listening to our second episode of Shattered Sky. For more information and to participate in helping us build the world and characters within this story, help us build out the city of Seirem, head over to shatteredskyrpg.com. Pretty Baby was played by Nathan Kiss. Find him on Twitter at @whatiskiss. Pashmina Myron was played by Claudia Jacob. Find her on Twitter at Jackie Dash, JAKIDASH. The Professor was played by Marcus Mays. Find him on Twitter at @bestkindaworst. V. Lassetti was played by Steph. Find her on Twitter at @sourfruitjunkie. The GM has been myself, Lauren Bond. Find me on Twitter at @randomtuesday. Music was provided by the Multinational Synth Corporation. Find Scotland on Twitter at @level23. That's the number 2 and the word 3. Original art and illustration was provided by Steph and Javier Beltran. Find Javier at jpbeltran.com. Good night, dreamers. Until next time.
Because it is correct. Now, I'll convene in about 5 minutes.
Where?
Wait,
what?
Where?
Oh, like to go together.
I have to.
I'm in my pajamas. I'm in my pajamas.
You're the one who's not ready.
Like, all of them are standing there, geared up, ready to go, like, cleanly prepared and dressed, and you're standing there in, like, a robe.
I think she's...
Just Baby Yoda coffee.
It's a big scarf, though, not the robe, it's a big scarf.
Oh, that's great.
I think she probably, you know what it is? It's probably a shawl. It's probably a really big shawl.
It's humongous.
Had to like not trip over it on the...